This is John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme.
This is your captain again, ladies and gentlemen. Just to let you know, those last passengers have now boarded, so I'm just waiting for takeoff clearance now and we'll be on our way.
Excuse me?
Yes, hi.
Hello, hi. I'm sorry about this. Can I be really cheeky and ask you a huge favour?
Yes.
Well, and look, you really must feel free to say no. I quite understand it's very cheeky of me, but I just wondered if you could possibly swap seats with me?
Yes, by all means, no problem.
Oh, thank you so much, you're very kind.
No, happy to help.
You're a star, really, you
no,
are.
No, you're welcome. Which one's your...
Yes, of course, it's 34E, here's the boarding pass.
Oh, great. But this says economy?
Yeah.
But this is first class.
Oh, this is, yeah.
Right, I assumed you were in first class as well.
Oh, no. That's why I wanted to swap. It's nice here.
Right, I thought, didn't you want to sit next to your husband?
No, not in the least. Oh, I see. No, this isn't my husband. You'll be sitting next to my husband. If he snores, just prod him and he'll stop.
But look, I didn't know you were in a different cabin.
Didn't you? I did say it was a huge favour, and that I was being very cheeky.
I thought you were just being polite.
No, the opposite.
Right, well, I'm no longer happy with the swap.
No, I can imagine.
Yes, I'd like to swap back.
No, I'm sorry. I wish I could help, but no.
Yeah, but look,
Hello, is there a problem here?
Oh, hello, this gentleman wants me to swap seats with him, but I'd really rather not.
No, but this is my seat, I pay for it.
Right, but then you swapped with me.
Did you, sir?
Well, yes, I did.
Oh, well then.
No, but her seat's in economy.
Oh, well, you were being a bit cheeky there, madam.
Oh, yes, I know, but I told him I was.
Oh. Did she, sir?
Well, yes, but...
Oh, well, if she told you she was being cheeky, sir, and you still swapped, I'm afraid there's nothing I can do.
Really? Seriously?
Sorry, sir. Off you go.
Bloody hell!
Enjoy your flight. Now then, madam. Glass of champagne?
Oh, why not?
Excuse me?
Yeah?
Hi, do you know where, hello, it's you.
Yeah, hi.
Do you know what, I'm just going to be honest here. I know we've met, but right now I can't place where.
I know, no, I'm so glad you said that. It's exactly the same with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know your face, but I just can't quite remember. Oh, do our kids go to the same primary school? Brentwick Primary?
No kids. Was it maybe on holiday? I feel like it was somewhere fun, holiday or...
I don't think so, no. It's funny, because I've got this definite sense it was something through the kids.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, I assumed it wasn't this, because I recognise you too, but, I mean, what it might be, if you've got young kids, is, I'm actually a children's TV presenter.
Oh, yeah, that's it! I've never met you, I've just seen you on the telly. God, I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry, it happens all the time, honestly, no problem. No, I'd have said before, only I thought it couldn't be that, because I was sure I recognised you too.
Yeah, well, it's a weird coincidence, but, I mean, it might be a similar thing going on. You see, I'm an actor.
Oh! God, yes, yeah, you're right. I've never met you either. I just know your face.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, so what might I have seen you in?
Oh, well, you probably wouldn't remember the titles.
Why not?
Oh, I'm in adult entertainment.
What, as in...
Yeah, exactly what you're thinking of. No, you probably just don't recognise me with my clothes on.
No, I don't think that's... I mean, I don't watch that kind of...
All right, okay.
No, I must know you from them. I mean, do you do other types of acting?
No.
Right.
Anyway, look, I'm in the same boat, because help me out. Which kids' show is it that you're in?
Oh, can't you remember?
No, I can't. Is it...
Bye! Members of the Institute, ladies and gentlemen, I accept this award with enormous pride and humility that of all the inspiring discoveries being made in biotechnology at present, it is mine and mine alone that you have singled out for honour, and that of Dr. Justin Harris, who shares my award. I must take this opportunity to apologise on Dr. Harris's behalf for his absence today, though, of course, those of us who knew Justin at university will hardly be surprised at him missing a lecture. Joking aside, of course, our thoughts are with him on the death of his father. As I say, though, I scarcely feel worthy of accepting such a prestigious award, so I can only imagine how Dr. Harris must feel. Although, let it be clear, Dr. Harris, as he has so proudly and so often made known, it was indeed a chance remark of his one evening in the snug of the Blue Boar that first gave me my idea. Now, would I in time have had the idea anyway, without hearing those thoughtful words slurred through Justin's Guinness-flecked beard that day? Who can say? Would Watt have invented the steam engine without the inspiration of his mother's kettle? Could Newton have arrived at his theory of gravitation without that famous apple? Well, of course, both those stories are apocryphal, so we know the answer is yes. They couldn't have. But Dr. Harris is no mere steam kettle or apple. No, he is a diligent and reliable scientist whose childlike simplicity in approaching the problem that had taken up 30 years of my career was perhaps invaluable to its solution, or at least valuable, least helpful, certainly not unhelpful. Now, I am delighted to share this honour with Justin, and though, sadly, a family emergency prevents him being in the same room as me as I collect this prize, no one can deny he was in the same room as me when I earned it. Thank you.
Hey, I'm home!
Hi, how was your day?
Oh, you know what, it's actually really, really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, sort of amazing, really. I ticked 3 things off my bucket list.
Really? 3 things?
I know! All in one day. Huh. I mean, right, first, I renewed my parking permit. Then I emailed the council about the bins. And as if that wasn't enough, on the way home, I finally said, you know what? What the hell? I'm buying it.
What?
This.
Some bleach?
Yes.
For
cleaning the loo.
Right. Well. Well done.
Thanks. How about you? Good day?
No. Just tried to work through my to-do list. I didn't get very far. I managed to get the dolphin swum with, but and that was pretty much the whole day gone.
Silly question, but you don't think maybe we...
Oh, mixed up our...
Yeah, let's see yours.
No, we didn't.
No. You know what? I can't wait. I'm going to clean the loo right now.
Okay, one moment, please, sir. Thank you, very good, very good. There's a strong start. Now, some small little things. Where's my tuba?
Maestro?
Yes, hi. When you come in, bar 27, from you I'm getting... Yes, but what I want, please, is... Boop, yes? So, 1, 2... Yes, better, but still a little boah. Yes, I want boop. Yep, you hear the round of the boop, boop. Yeah, yes, very good, wonderful. Thank you, boop, good. Now my cello. First cello.
Maestro?
Yes, so from you I am getting this, yes. Now, can you give me, please, more like, boop?
Sort of a fuller.
Yes. Whoop. Yes, whoop. So, 1, 2. No. I'm sorry, I'm still getting... No, I want, please. Whoop. No. Whoop. 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 Whoop.
Sorry, Maestro. Whoop. I don't think I can really make a cello go warp.
Well, no, it begins to seem you cannot. But the tuba, he couldn't go warp.
I think it's easier with the tuba.
Okay. So, look, this is, of course, only first rehearsal, but perhaps all of you should know, this is really the only noise I like in music. Yes, it's warp, OK? And for me, I can almost say it is not music unless it goes warp. So if you cannot...
No. Okay, can I try once more?
No, of course. So I want to... OK, so I think maybe this was not just the cello.
I know, I'm sorry, Maestro.
No. I like it. Yes, so, once more, please, but even less with the cello and more with the voice. Yes, very good, very good. Yes, in fact, perhaps you put aside the cello altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, let us all try again, please. Tutti, but all please do as the cello did, yes? Except YouTuber, you're fine. So everyone else, one, two... Forgive me. It is so beautiful. Okay, Nick, now look. Mm-hmm. So what you do now is you shake them in the colander, right? Yeah. And that roughens up the edges, and okay. So you get lovely crispy coats when you roast them. That's the most important thing.
Wow, Uncle Matt, that's the most important thing.
I don't mean in life. I mean, that's the most important thing in roast potatoes.
So what's the most important thing in life, then?
Well. Well, let's just say, you know... I often think...
Are you all right, Nick? You're very quiet.
No, I'm fine, Mum. I'm just thinking about something Uncle Matt said to me today. It's really made me see things differently.
Really? But Matt's such an idiot. The whole family thinks so.
I don't think he is, Mum, because what he said was...
Sir Nicholas, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, well, I was lucky to have an uncle who was a very, very wise man. And I'll never forget, when I was just a kid, I asked him what the most important thing in life was. And he looked over at me, he gave me a little smile, and he said...
Save your strength, Dad.
Do not mourn me, my friends. I've had a wonderful life, successful and fulfilled, and I owe it all to my Uncle Matthew, the wisest man I ever knew. For it was he who revealed that one simple truth upon which the whole of my life has been built.
Uncle Matt!
What?
I said, should I turn the heat down on the hob?
Yes, sure.
You okay? You've just been, like, staring at the ceiling for 3 minutes.
I'm fine. Nick, you were asking about,
I don't know, potatoes?
No, it was, you wanted...
Uncle Matt, let me finish this. Can I show you a video on my phone?
Yeah, of course you can, Nick.
However, 40 years later...
Wow. What's your secret, Nick?
Oh, it's something my uncle told me when I was a kid. You give them a little shake in a colander to roughen up the skins. I'll never forget it.
Hello. Welcome to the animal interview sketch. My name is Patsy Straightwoman. I've now interviewed every single human in the world, so I'm making a start on the animals. Today, I'm joined by Harold, who is an owl. Harold, since ancient times, owls have been associated with wisdom and learning. Do you find that expectation a burden, or do you relish it?
I'm an owl.
Yes, and as an owl, do you consider the cultural stereotype of the wise old owl flattering or reductive?
Do you know what I'm good at?
No.
Seeing.
Right.
Yeah, and looking, because I've got big eyes. I can see really good. I can see you. There you are.
Yes.
Yeah, and if there was a little mouse at the back of the room, I'd see that.
Would you?
Straight away. I'd see it right up. There it is, I'd say. Mouse!
Right.
There's not one now, though. I looked.
OK. So, going back to your reputation for wisdom...
Yeah, no. No, that's not really... that's not my thing, the wisdom. Seeing's my thing. And looking...
Yes.
With my big
Your big,
my big eyes.
Eyes.
Yes, that's it. Tell you what, though, you need a big skull, though, if you've got big eyes.
I suppose you do.
Yeah, and see, the humans, they associate size of skull with size of brain.
Do they?
Yeah. They see the big skull on us owls and they go, hello, we got ourselves a thinker.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, our eyes are so big for all the looking, there's not much room left in our skull for brain.
Oh.
No, not much. No, it's mostly eyes in here. Yeah, just a titchy little brain.
I see.
Yeah. Funny thing, though, what humans also do is they think clever people wear glasses. Don't know why. So when humans draw owls, they draw us with mortarboards and little glasses.
Oh.
Yeah, like we're really clever, but we can't see very well. And that's not right.
No.
No, because I'm good at seeing.
Yes.
Not so much the thinking. No. What's happened there is an anthropocentric leaching of symbolism from signifiers to the signified.
That sounds quite wise.
Yeah. I don't know what it means. A crow taught it me. Oh, mouse!
Leon McDuff. And cursed be he who first cries, halt! Enough! Let fall thy blade on vulnerable crests. I bear a charmed life, which must not yield to man of woman born.
Despair thy charm. Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped.
So?
So, I was not from woman born.
Of course you bloody were.
I wasn't.
All right, before you go any further, let me just remind you, Macduff, I have met your mum.
I'm not saying I don't have a mother.
Right, and is she a woman?
Yes, she's a woman.
Fine, you can't kill me then. The witch said so.
No, no, you're not listening. I can, because I wasn't born.
Of course you were born.
No, because I was untimely ripped.
I know, your poor mum still counts as being born.
No, it doesn't.
I tell you what, you ask your mum if it counts as being born. I bet she reckons it does.
No, but listen, technically...
Yeah, when's your birthday?
What, August the 3rd?
Ah, see, birthday.
Oh! No, I say that birthday because it's easy to explain.
No, you say birthday because that's the day you were born. It's not about which exit you use. Difference between 1 minute you not existing and the next minute, oh, hello, there you are.
Macduff is the tyrant Macbeth slain.
Ah, oh, good Lady Lennox. Nearly, we got distracted.
No, not nearly, nowhere near nearly. Let me catch you up. I can't be slain by any man born of woman. He's trying to get round it on a technicality, but it is pretty weak.
Right, well, it doesn't take a genius. Macduff, put up your sword, Macbeth on guard.
Oh, I am slain.
There we go, no man of woman born, yeah? Still leaves like half the people in the world.
Fair enough, I should have got that. Yeah.
Good, right. Macduff, I've got to get straight off to school. Can I leave it to you to tell everyone what happened here?
Yes!
Say, Rob, is that you?
Well, oh, hello, Dickie, mate. How you doing, man?
Oh, awfully well, thank you, darling. How super to run into you.
Yeah, you too. This is Chris.
Ah, John.
Chris, this is Sir Richard Perry. He was in my very first movie.
What, Blood Money, were you?
Oh, yes, yes. Such fun. Such a happy shoot.
Yeah, you remember the opera guy, that Mugsy and Hat Man, Torture, in a van? We thought, wouldn't it be great to get, like, a proper theatre guy to do it? Yeah.
Tremendous fun. Yeah. They cut my hand off.
Yeah.
Well, look, shall I get the drinks in?
Oh, cheers, yeah, just a lager, whatever's on. Dickie.
Oh, I say, that's most awfully kind of you. Perhaps the very smallest of small pots.
So, Dickie, what were you up to now, man?
Well, darling, I'm trying my hand at writing a play. I'm doing the research at the moment. Heavens, what a chore. Oh, actually, you might be able to help me with something.
Yeah, well, if I can, mate.
Oh,
yeah.
Darling, thank you. You see, it's set in a public school, and I need some obscure slang. Do you have anything from Winchester?
Winchester?
Yes. Weren't you at Winchester?
I did live round that way for a bit, as it goes, yeah.
Oh, yes, when you were a schoolboy at the college.
What, keep it down?
What?
Listen, I did go there, yeah, but I don't talk about it no more, OK?
Oh, my dear man, I'm so sorry. Have I made a frightful bitch?
No, it's fine, it's fine. Just, you know, keep it to yourself.
Oh, no, we'll do, absolutely. But then you could help me with the slang, then. Just strictly anonymously, of course.
Well, maybe. But can't you just use stuff from your school?
What? Skinner Street Secondary Modern?
Secondary Modern?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm a frightful oik, you know. Born and bred in Bermondsey.
But you sound so...
Oh, that's just RADA, darling. They drum the accent out of you at the RADA. Well, they used to in my day, anyway. These days, of course, it's NASET.
So, like, what did your old man do?
He repaired fruit machines. How about yours?
Bishop of Exeter. Really, though, he repaired fruit machines.
Well, not really.
No, oh, you got me. Nice one.
No, that is what he claimed he did. It's just really... He was a bagman for the Rawnsley brothers.
No! The Rawnsley? So he was a crim?
Oh, heavens, yes. My whole family were crims. It's my Uncle Eddie you want to hear about.
Yeah, I do. Hang on. Do you mind if I get all this down?
No, not in the least, as long as you give me a hand with the winches for stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. OK, well, first thing you got to know, never say teachers. It's always dons. You never say term, neither. Like, spring term is St. Peter's half, summer term is Trinity half.
Oh, well, this is just the sort of thing.
Yeah, so what about your Uncle Eddie?
Bolt cutters. Bolt cutters Eddie, they called him. You see, Dad was just a small-time crook, but Uncle Eddie was a proper face.
Bolt cutters?
Oh, yes, now, you'll want to get this done.
Actually, maybe I don't.
As you wish. Now, prefects.
Oh, right, yeah, so you've got two types, basically. The scholars, they're called non-tox, and they can sit in King Henry's pew.
Mm-hmm. OK, so here we go. Right, lager.
Super.
And a small pool.
Oh, well, cheers, mate. Yeah.
Wait a minute, haven't you got each other's there?
Oh! Oh, what a bleeding muppet I am.
And I'm a silly sausage. Yeah.
King Eurytus, it is I, Hercules. I have returned.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yes, returned triumphant from my latest labour.
Yeah? It's 2 a.m.
Well, who is it, love? Who's out there?
Just Hercules again.
Oh.
Know that I have slain the deadly Symphalian birds.
Have you?
Yes, as you requested me to do.
Did I?
Yes, it was my 9th labour.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Well, good.
Behold their corpses.
Oh. Gross.
Oh, you need to have brought them back with you.
Well, we don't want a palace full of dead birds. He's worse than the cat.
Well, I just thought you'd want proof.
No, we'd have taken it on trust.
Yeah, after all, you killed the Nemean lion, you killed the Lernean hydra.
The bull, the boar, we kind of took it as read you'd managed to knock off a few birds as well.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they were pretty vicious birds.
No, sure.
They were, they had metal beaks.
Oh dear, how did they fly?
Well, they didn't, they just sort of dragged their heads along the ground. Look, this isn't the point! What is the next labour with which you would charge me?
Oh,
To be honest, we're having trouble coming up with them.
Yeah, look, tell you what, Hercules.
Hercules.
Fine, Hercules. Why don't we just call it quits?
Hmm.
Yeah? You've done 9 labours now, you've made a lovely job of them, I'm happy, the gods are happy, let's shake hands, call it a day, yeah?
No, I have pledged to complete 12 labours, and so I shall.
Oh, fine. Well, Linda, are there any more cross animals knocking about?
Not really, he's killed them all. He's done the lion and the boar and the bull and the bloody sharp birds or whatever.
Well, have we got any jobs that need doing?
Oh, I suppose the stables could do with a clean.
Yeah, that'll do. Your 10th task, oh Hercules, is to cleanse the stables.
Hang on, I'm not mucking out your stables for you.
Well, you've got to. 10th labour, innit?
No, that's not a labour, that's just work. My labours must be epic feats of heroism, not... Bob a job week.
Hang on, let me... give me a minute.
Okay. Oh, he could go to hell.
Go to hell, yes, of course. Why didn't you think of that first? Brilliant. No one survives hell.
Hang on.
Yeah, great. Your 10th labour is to voyage to the underworld and bring back... what do they have in hell?
Oh, horrible stuff. Nothing we'd want here.
Doesn't matter. He's not coming back.
No, good point. All right. Oh, that dog they have.
Yes, good. Go to hell, bring back Satan's dog.
Satan?
Oh, well, whatever we call him. You know what I mean. Hell boss. Big bad. Go get his dog.
Yeah, no. I mean, you've gone too far the other way now. I can't do that. It's impossible.
Oh, not feeling quite so heroic now, are we?
No, I am, but come on. Actual hell.
Well, there's always the stables.
Oh, where were the gloves kept?
How about the shovels?
I'd use two pairs if I were you.
Yeah, those stables are in a real pickle. Bye.
Jot that one down about hell, though, Linda. We can use it at the end.
Done it already.
Brilliant.
John?
Yes, son?
You got the order of the labours wrong.
I know.
The stables came before the birds.
Yeah, I know that. I reordered them to be funnier.
Oh, right. John?
Yeah?
Do you think it's a bit weird you've got this compulsion to put in these little footnotes so that people know you know you've got the facts wrong?
No.
Don't you? I do. I think it's pretty weird. This is a comedy sketch show. No one's mistaking it for the Open University.
People do pick you up on this stuff, you know.
So what? What are you trying to prove? I mean, it's not as if you knew the order of the labours before you looked them up on Wikipedia, is it?
No.
Well, stop using these correction sketches to imply you did then. Why don't we just say that with this sketch, we have established that you do have access to Wikipedia, but sometimes you ignore it for jokes. And that way, you won't have to do any more of these paranoid little arse-cavering meta-sketches anymore.
Okay, let's do that.
Great. Also, this is amazing for you because it will provide cover for all your many genuine mistakes.
Well, since you asked me what I think I am looking at, I believe the answer may surprise you, for if truth be told, it was your own rather curious countenance upon which my gaze... I'm sorry? Well, since you ask me about what the hell I am talking, I confess myself something at a loss, for surely nothing could be more lucid than the foregoing explanation that I was looking at and am therefore now talking about your rather peculiar face. Well, since you ask me if I am trying to be funny, I must respond sadly in the negative, for alas, a childhood accident sustained trying to avoid a chicken that was attempting to cross the road for motives now lost to history left me entirely bereft of a sense of humour. Well, since you ask me if I want some, offer is most generous, but perhaps a little lacking in specificity. Do you... Well, since you ask me to accompany you outside, I fear I must politely decline. The night is cold, and I fear that my cape is... Oh! Oh! Well, since you ask me if that's taught me to give a simple answer to a simple question... Yes, yes, it has. Good night.
John Finnemore's souvenir programme was written and performed by John Finnemore, with Margaret Caborn-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Carrie Quinlan. The producer was Ed Morris, and it was a BBC Studios production.